Good morning, everyone. We welcome you to our Sunday morning roundtable discussion. This morning is Sunday, March 18th, 2018. We are recording from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent, Plainfield, New Jersey, the United States of America. And this morning, we will have Florence start with our morning prayer.
Mrs. Eddy's prayer given at the Massachusetts Metaphysical College. Oh my God, I offer as a consecrated gift upon thine altar a heart dedicated to thy service, lips speaking only words of charity, love, and truth, thoughts striving to be only the true thoughts of the mind of God. Help me to endure unto the end, strong in the faith, powerful in the truth, all the influence that I can bring to bear, all the force of tongue or pen that is mine, I offer in thy service. May heaven help, consecrate, and accept.
Thank you. And then miscellaneous writings. We today in this classroom are enough to convert the world if we are of one mind. For then the whole world will feel the influence of this mind as when the earth was without form and mind spake and form appeared. Our subject today is matter, the golden text, John 6. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. I wanted to start today with Shardy's forum. And she mentioned, and I think it's such an important verse in the Bible this week, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Remember this, all flesh, doesn't say some, all of it. Every bit of it. So if you have, you know, sometimes we have loved ones, we're concerned that they're not going to find the Christ or find the truth. Saying all flesh is coming to this. And also that God does hear prayer. I heard someone say this week, and it was blasphemy to me, that, well, they know people who have prayed and it didn't work. And so what does that mean?
You ask and receive not because ye ask amiss.
They don't understand what true prayer is. That's why we have such a gift in Science and Health and our chapter on prayer. And someone mentioned yesterday we had a wonderful roundtable for, or excuse me, wonderful Bible study for anyone who missed it. Listen to it. And someone mentioned, maybe it was Janet, about praying, but you're praying for all the things that you want. It's got to line up with God's will. So, Shardy, what did you say?
Well, I said that I would change verses because of prayer. Prayer does work. I see that work. Especially since coming here and learning how to pray. And that what I love is that God is, there is none else. And that when we do pray, and we know that it's for everyone, and no one is left out, and they can hear God. I love that Christ sees them, and they can understand.
Yes, that was another point, and this stems from last week's Bible study, the healing of the blind man, and Shardy also mentioned it in her testimony. One of the commentaries said that you might not see Christ. You can be blind to the Christ, but Christ sees you. There's no way that that doesn't happen. And that is another thought for those loved ones that you feel aren't interested in God or aren't interested in Christian Science. Maybe they don't see it. But God and Christ sees them. Don't ever forget that. He's the shepherd watching over all his sheep. And maybe it's not going to happen today or tomorrow, but eventually all flesh will come unto him. And we have experiences in this life that lead us to him. And that's really what this lesson is about. It's about the change of base from a material sense of things where you cannot see Christ when you're dull and you don't get it, to the chemicalization process that comes and the change from the material base to the spiritual one. Any comments?
I think that it's helpful to remember for myself that there was a time where I wasn't interested and I didn't understand and didn't hear God and, you know, didn't know him like I do now and wasn't interested in Christian Science. It was long ago, but there was a time. So for anybody that I'm thinking is not interested or doesn't understand now, their time will come just like mine did if they are seeking.
Thank you, Dede.
I certainly agree with that. I think that, I know for me, I found a lot of ways that didn't work, and that was really important. When I hear now, I know that there is no other path, because I proved that for myself. And that's what they're doing right now.
Thank you. Anybody else?
I think also is, okay. Somebody.
Go ahead, Florence.
Yeah, I think it's when, you know, you say you are in it, but not really. I mean, we have to be honest. I have to be honest with myself. In the beginning, it was all, after I got relief from the fear by reading the book, you know, I wasn't waking up with the panics anymore. But then, did I really come with all my heart? I don't think I did. I had a lot of doubting, and I wanted to be doing other things, you know, the reading other books, self-help books and stuff like that. So I think that is also a part of it when you become committed.
The commitment. Who else is trying to speak?
This is Michael.
Okay, Michael.
I just, Mrs. Eddy in Science and Alice, several parts of the book just talks about, writes about having experiences direct you or draw you towards God, and sometimes those are, even in our own life, painful experiences that force you to look for God or to find him when maybe it wasn't a priority. And so I think that's just sometimes part of the process of even caring or feeling the need to know or understand God. It's those bumps in the road that sometimes will be the thing that draws you that way.
Absolutely right. Yes. But they say there's no atheists out in the ocean when there's a storm or something.
There are no atheists on the battlefield.
Yeah, in the trenches. There are no atheists in the trenches. It's those experiences where it's help, save, Lord, or I perish. That's what brings you to your knees. And that's why Mrs. Eddy says through science or suffering. We would be so much better if we get it through science than to have wars and other things. So, anyone else?
But it seems like most of us get there through suffering and science.
Yeah, Mrs. Eddy says she doesn't know anyone who didn't. So
I don't either. But I think it's... there's a point here I think that's really, really good, and that is we should never fear the experiences that are tough or difficult, and we should never want to spare anybody else an experience that they feel like they need to go through, because we can count on it. We can count on that experience drawing them or us closer to God. And as Jeremy stated it so well, you know, we all have our own ways of trying other things to find out that they don't work to get us to the point where we recognize that God is the only way, science is the only way, Christianity is the only way, but we have to we have to get to that point, and it's the experiences we have that get us there.
And, you know, it's hard sometimes, especially with family members or children, where you want to spare them hard difficulties. But especially as they get older, you cannot. They have to learn from what they suffer. They do. Otherwise, the science isn't really theirs. And I'm going to also mention, because this happens occasionally, you know, where you have someone close to you and you want them to call a practitioner, me or Florence, and you almost force them to do that. That does not work. They have to come to it on their own. And they have to decide what practitioner they want, too. Let them be. They'll come to it when they're ready, because otherwise it's fake. And I know as a practitioner, I can feel it. If someone's coming just because a family member or a friend or someone says, oh, you got to call this person. Yeah, I got to call. just let them find it on their own, because then they're receptive to it. Otherwise, it's almost like they're just, I don't know, trying on a shoe to see if it fits or something. It's not the same.
It can be kind of a wreck, too, because if they're not prepared for what they need to do.
That's true.
More receptive. They just come because you told them to.
That's it. Let them find it on their own. And they will when the time is right. You be an example if they ask you for that kind of help, certainly, but don't put it, force it on them. That's pending the regulator.
Mrs. Evans was good about this. She said, you know, a child up to about the age of 12 will listen to you and benefit from it. But once they get to be a teenager, you can't tell them anything anymore. You have to be there for them. And they will come to you and ask you when they're ready. But the process changes once they become a, you know, teenager, almost adult kind of, where they have to establish their own relationship with God and find their own path. And as a parent, you have to let them do that. I mean, you don't let them do crazy things. And you speak up when you see them going off a cliff. But we have to let others, especially when they're adults, find their own relationship with God. And that is what strengthens them.
And it makes them good workers eventually, and not weaklings.
There's so much out there, you know, in the form of books, and like you mentioned, self-help books and different philosophies, and it's confusing for, you know, for a lot of people. They're searching, but it's so many choices out there that it's, you know, I feel that sometimes, you know, with my family, I'm probably the only one practicing Christian Science, and it hurts me to see them sometimes searching so vainly for different, you know, for God, which ultimately is what we are all searching for, is God. And that is difficult, but then they have all these other distractions.
Yes, and what was that story? Wasn't it someone that came to Mrs. Eddy and spoke with her and then left and then searched all around and tried all the wisdom and all the things? And
she traveled the world over, read all the self-help books that were in existence at the time, which wasn't many. And years later, she came back to Mrs. Eddy and said, how could I have missed it? I was so foolish. You have it.
You had it all.
Right here.
Mm-hmm. So, and just keep knowing that the one attraction, and they will find it. They will find it. Maybe as in Jeremy's way, he went through many different paths, but it eventually led him here.
Yeah, I think of this once in a while. The suffering seemed really intense at the time. But after coming here and being here a little while, I realized I would have suffered twice as much to get here. So it's all worth it to get through.
Yeah, thank you. That's true. All the suffering is all worthwhile because what comes out of it. And again, this is a chemicalization process. This is putting off the old for the new, the material sense of this life for the spiritual. And that's what this whole lesson is about. I'm not sure everyone understood it this week because it was a little deeper. But it's a process that must be. And in truth, we're perfect and spiritual right now. That's the ultimate truth, and that's what we see, and we drop off the false concepts. But it's very important, and we all have to go through that, pond and purpose, as I often refer to.
And the pain that we experience by dropping, that forces us to drop all of our false beliefs, is a good thing. Never fear the pain. Never try to avoid the pain.
I think it's so compassionate of Mrs. Eddy to say that if that's the case, it can be explained to them what's happening.
Yes.
Because when it's happening, it can be quite alarming. It's, oh my gosh, what's happening to me? But I think it's really beautiful and compassionate that she mentions that it can be that action can be explained.
You're so right, Florence, because it is traumatic for a lot of people at a lot of the times. And for them to be comforted by being told that it's okay, it's a good thing.
And Carol, you can read citation 6 in Science and Health, the first 2 paragraphs. If the reader of this book observes a great stir throughout his whole system, and certain moral and physical symptoms seem aggravated, these indications are favorable. Continue to read, and the book will become the physician, allaying the tremor which truth often brings to error when destroying it. Patients unfamiliar with the cause of this commotion and ignorant that it is a favorable omen may be alarmed. If such is the case, explain to them the law of this action, as when an acid and alkali meet and bring out a third quality, so mental and moral chemistry changes the material base of thought, giving more spirituality to consciousness and causing it to depend less on material evidence. These changes, which go on in mortal mind, serve to reconstruct the body. Thus, Christian Science, by the alchemy of spirit, destroys sin and death. Thank you. Think of that. Think of what she's saying. So mental and moral chemistry changes the material base of thought. You think everything's human, everything's material. You see it all, you see things personally. And then what happens? It gives more spirituality to consciousness, causing it to depend less on material evidence. This is what happens, change of base. And it must happen for real science healing to take place. This is what happens. And sometimes the symptoms can be more alarming. But that doesn't mean you just, I'm running to the doctors. Well, you can if you want, but you work through it. You work through it. I love this in Watches, Prayers, and Arguments, Mrs. Eddy says, hold on and persist for good, because there never is a hopeless situation. When error meets with resistance, it begins to be scattered. Where a situation seems unbearable, it is because error is letting go.
Error is like a cornered wild animal, when it's cornered, is when it attacks. When error is cornered, it'll try its last attack. And if you stand firm and don't be impressed by it, it has no power and it will vanish. Guaranteed.
I've been liking it this week, too. I don't know if you ever saw the movie The Wizard of Oz. And that this wizard, you know, and he had this big booming voice and he scared everybody and all the people in Oz were so afraid of him. And then when they eventually found him, what was he?
Scared little man.
A scared little man.
The microphone.
And the microphone. It is always the case, my friends. I don't care how horrible the problem might seem to be. That's what it is. You'll find it sooner or later if you stay on it. Stay on it. Don't get off course. And then this, too, from Watchers, Prayers, and Arguments on page 116. Pray God to help you awake to the claims of error and awake to the truth that destroys them. Whenever error would try to make sin, sickness, disease, or death seem real, God overrules it and makes them seem more unreal to us. Good reverses every evil argument and effort and brings out the opposite good. Because, again, with this chemicalization, you think you're making all this progress, good's going on, and then suddenly, boom, everything goes. And you think, well, it would seem like the good is reversing itself. Well, this is where you stand your ground and say the only reversal is for good to reverse the error. That's the only power. Don't acknowledge any other power. This is, again, this goes back to the lesson about you can't serve what?
Two masters.
That's it. This is one of the ways we do. You can only serve the one God. And in doing that, the unreality of matter, the power it seems to hold on you, will lose its sway. Mrs. Eddy says in citation 4, there is no inherent power in matter. For all that is material is a material, human, mortal thought, always governing it itself erroneously. It's not governing you, it's governing itself. You're mesmerized by that picture. Remember that. There's no power in matter. Sometimes I wonder, how does your body know that ice cream will make you fat? Who told your body that? I want to know that question because I love ice cream. So, well, seriously, they have all these rules. It's always bossing you around what matter does and doesn't do. Who gave it all that power?
And food seems to have so much control because of these laws. If I eat this, this will happen. If I eat that, this will happen.
Yep.
And therefore it does.
Mm-hmm. Therefore it does.
If you buy it.
They change the rules all the time.
Yes.
You can't eat eggs. You can't eat eggs. You can't eat chocolate.
Exactly.
Not freeze cold.
I saw a study on the internet just the other day. They did a study on milk, things that people say about milk, and one of them was that if you drink milk when you have a cold, you'll get congested. So they tried it on, you know, people, and the only ones who got congested were the ones who thought that was the truth. Nobody else got congested. There you go. Mm-hmm. Now, that's what I haven't heard. So, well, that's it. They change it all the time. And they change it according to their studies, and according to their studies change all the time. Just as Carol said, if you believe in it or you don't believe in it.
How much a product need, they want a product to be bought.
Yes.
Exactly.
It's always according to their agenda.
That's it. Mm-hmm. That's it. The milk industry wants you to drink milk. And that is why Christ Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount that we should take no thought for what we
shall eat.
We shall eat.
Or drink.
Or put our wear.
And that is why science, you know, science is radical. Because it just blows the lid off of all human material belief. And that is really, isn't that what the golden text really means? It is the spirit that quickeneth. What does quicken mean?
It's life.
Yeah, it means to give life, to make a life. The flesh profiteth nothing. Matter is not alive. Matter can't be alive. And this is what differentiates Christian science with all other so-called religious or medical beliefs.
And it is different. I don't know of any other. That's why we can't mush it around with New Age and all these other things. It is radical, it is different. And it is the ultimate. You might get bits and snatches of it in other places. You will, because the truth is everywhere. But the ultimate, to bring you round robin through the whole thing, the understanding of animal magnetism, the unreality of air, all of this, the unreality of matter, it requires this science.
To appreciate the chemicalization process that everybody feels at times, requires this science.
I think that's very profound, because I think when it got mixed up when I was in the VOD version of Christian, which is not Christian science, is this idea of keeping peace all the time. And I don't think I ever heard much about chemicalization, especially the way you're talking now, and to appreciate it. It's like the exposing of evil, you know, the peace where no peace, and that's what's gravitating, misteaching these people to this new age. It's all about keeping things peaceful, calm, comfortable, and actually they talk spirit and all this, but it's actually making matter more ingrained and real. And I just think it's very important, this teaching on chemicalization, and that it's a good thing, because the people think it's bad, and then they try to do everything they can to avoid it, and then it breaks out in flames.
Right, yeah. And that's the human mind. That's the human mind.
When great good is going on because spirit is destroying the claims of matter, Mrs. Eddy says in page 4 of the blue book, spirit is supreme, and it's doing its work.
It is.
Mm-hmm. That's an important point to know about mortal mind. It wants to avoid issues. It doesn't want to face them and overcome them, realizing you got all the power of God with you. It would rather avoid them than to set things right.
That is such an important point. Always take an easy way out. Yeah, that's true. And it never is. It starts out as you're hightailing it down the road, but pretty soon you're running, and then
it's going ahead of you, that's all.
Error will follow you wherever you go until you turn around and put your heel on its neck.
That is why any time you feel fear, you ask yourself, what is this? And then you face it. You face that little weak little man, the Wizard of Oz, okay? You face it. Otherwise, it just has it over your head and you keep running. You turn around and confront it like David did Goliath. What are you afraid of? Answer that question. I'm scared, Gary.
And answer it now.
Well, also in Science and Health, Mrs. Eddy talks about the scripture, searching the joints and marrow and restoring the harmony of man. And I love the amplified version of that, which is, for the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. This is, think about it, this is God's word that we're reading about, okay? It's alive, it's full of power. It's operative, energizing, effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, soul, and the immortal spirit, and of the joints and marrow, which are the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. Man, does that go deep.
Yeah.
And let it go deep. Why are you afraid? What are your motives? Are your motives pure? Let it rip and roar in you and purify and, yes, chemicalize you. And as that process goes, it's purifying. It's wonderful. It might not feel so great when you're in the middle of it, but that's all right. Keep at it. Keep going. This is the change of base from matter to spirit. It must be done. And when people are deeply in this material mode and only see things according to matter, they're the ones that sometimes need the most chemicalizing.
Yeah, because there's no peace in that. The most materially minded people are the most fearful people in the world. The most insecure, the most anxious.
Exactly, thank you.
Out of love for them, let it rip. Tear that tape out from under.
Go ahead, Mike. Is that Michael?
Yes. Just one thing that somebody once talked to me about was, you know, worldwide chemicalization sometimes where something, some moral issue has to come to the surface. And I can think about the recent, you know, we had a watch on this, but on the sexual harassment scandals that have been coming out of Hollywood is one, and out of different, you know, politics, where things are coming to the surface that need to be exposed and destroyed. The housing crisis, 2008, 2009, all this dishonesty in the lending industry, all this dishonesty that was going on that also had to come to the surface and get destroyed. And I know somebody, close relative, who was involved in that and had taken out a home loan that they honestly couldn't pay, and they had to go through a lot of painful experiences in order to learn the lesson. And now they live a much more simple life, but they had to go through this in order to learn that you shouldn't buy things you can't afford, and you're not entitled to these things. And so dishonesty in that regard doesn't help you.
Thank you. That's very, very true. And this is, and our world is undergoing a chemicalization process. It always has, and it always will, a purification. And when these things come to the surface, there's a tendency to feel, oh, what horrible thing is going on. Well, it's not. It has to. It has to come out. Good thing it is coming out. Let it come out to be healed. We know era uncovered is two-thirds destroyed, and the final third
destroyed. I like the word commotion that Mrs. Eddy uses. The patient's unfamiliar with the cause of this commotion.
Yeah, right, commotion, right. Good. Thank you.
I also read something in Pulpit and Press. I'll read it. It's not long at all, about this chemicalization in view of, you know, world scene. He says that this spiritual chemicalization is the upheaval produced when truth is neutralizing, error and impurities are passing off. And it will continue till the antithesis of Christianity, engendering the limited forms of a national or tyrannical religion, yields to the church established by the Nazarene prophet and maintained on the spiritual foundation of Christ's healing. So it's all good.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Put that on the forum. That's beautiful, Florence. So hang on to your hats, guys. It's going to go on until we the Church of the Nazarene. That's beautiful.
Yeah, and that's why we watch, so that these errors will come out to the surface, and they come out to the surface for one reason.
To be destroyed.
To draw people closer to the truth. That's why we have these experiences, to bring us closer to God. That's why we have science.
And, you know,
the comforter.
Yes. And Mrs. Eddy says that in doing this work, we can help lessen the days and alleviate a lot of the pain and suffering. And it would be great if we could eliminate wars. In doing this work, we can do it. We might, we will not most likely be able to eliminate the whole thing, but we will at least, it'll be a lot better than it would have been if we were not doing this work. And so that sort of takes us to Parsons, and he quoted from the Bible. Let's see, where is that? You have it on your... Go ahead, Linda.
From Isaiah 45. Mm-hmm. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. You want me to read this whole?
Well, yes. Okay. Well.
Here Isaiah presents a mighty picture of spirit rending the heavens to rain down its gifts upon a receptive earth. With regard to Mrs. Eddy's discovery, the earth realm was not in a position of openness to receive it until after the American Revolution and the Civil War. The colonists of the Revolution were the first people in history to question the divine right of kings, and with God's help, banished tyranny from without. And with the Civil War came the end of slavery, banishing tyranny from within. It would have been impossible for both wars to have been fought simultaneously. Liberty advances by footsteps. Then in 1866, almost immediately after the end of the Civil War, the heavens were set free to open, at last, to fall on good ground, a softened, more accessible earth, after a drought of nearly 2,000 years of drab, secularized Christianity, emptied, for the most part, of what Paul called, quote, demonstration of the spirit and power, end quote. And such an important liberating step it was. And then the quote from Science and Health, Mrs. Eddy. The voice of God in behalf of the slave was still echoing in our land when the voice of the herald of this new crusade sounded the keynote of universal freedom, asking a fuller acknowledgement of the rights of man as a son of God. End quote. But Earth is now once again faced with forces seeking to harden it against absorbing anything falling from heaven, as forces of despotism are working vehemently to impede, halt, or reverse the progress of liberty's footsteps. Therefore, I will keep Isaiah 45:8 close by for watching, praying, arguing, to neutralize each of error's unrelenting efforts to negate, quote, the word, Christ, Christianity, and divine science, end quote. And that was from Science and Health.
Thank you. So here he's saying the chemicalization that's been going on in our nation, and it goes on worldwide. And it one thing cleanses, and then the next thing, and then it keeps churning and cleansing until... What is God? Oh, I will overturn. And this is the process. And now he's saying, perhaps because of the secular nature of so much, that there's a hardening. But we keep working, and in our watches, we keep knowing that the overturning is taking place. People are receptive to this truth. and people are turning to Christ, Christianity. This is our work, and woe be to anyone who leaves it undone. Mrs. Eddy says that. We will be subject to what if we do?
Another 1,900 years of darkness.
Another 1,900 years of darkness.
Worse than the first.
Worse than the first. So if anyone is looking forward to that, just go on your merry way and don't do this work. And if you don't give a something a hoot about the next generation and the generation following that, then just go ahead, ignore all these warnings.
And party on.
And party on, yes. Party on.
Nobody wants that to be their legacy.
Right. Is that what you want as your legacy? We have work to do, and it's the greatest work on earth, and it's joyful, happy work, but it has to be done. So, and then I don't know if anyone else, he also quotes from that one of my very favorites, Mrs. Eddy's remarks on 4th of July, and saying just what I've just said, are you ready to doff your lavender kid's zeal and become consecrated warriors? It's a battle cry. And then to answer at once, and to answer?
All right.
And Florence, if you'd like to read, that was beautiful from Rudimental Divine Science.
Yeah, Mrs. Eddy says this, that we must feel, or you must feel and know that God alone governs man, that his government is harmonious, that he is too pure to behold iniquity and divides his power with nothing evil or material. I mean, I think it's an answer to, you know, one of we can use for our watch, because all this going on, there's the answer right there. There's only one power, God,
whom
we obey.
And that's the truth we hold to. That's the absolute statement of truth we hold to. To get the rest of this false picture in conformity with the truth. This is a false, mesmeric picture. Remember that always. Might seem real, horrific, horrible, but it's a mesmeric picture. It's a bad dream. But who wants to dream that dream? I don't.
Me.
And we certainly don't want others to either. So, any questions so far or comments? I love what Mrs. Eddy says in the Science and Health about reading Science and Health, and the book becomes what?
The physician.
Yeah, the physician. Isn't that wonderful? That's why we have all those fruitages at the end. As you read science, Mrs. Eddy says that Science and Health is the healer, Prose Works is the instructor. Let the book heal you. And even if you don't understand it at first, you keep reading, and then you put into practice whatever you do understand. And it grows and grows and grows. And this book is for the neophyte as well as for the most advanced student. It is forever unfolding. There's no need to write another one, another book, a sequel. no sequel.
Mrs. Eddy herself studied it. Daily.
She did.
Or revision.
Yes. And we're so grateful to Florence because she's put it now. It's all on audio to listen to. Beautiful.
And all those who read the footage, too.
Yes.
Different people have read the footage.
Yeah, that's going to be beautiful. And today, for bells, we have little Mallory and Isaiah. They're going to play a few notes for us, as well as Bryce and Bruce. And Jeremy, I want to have it on video, thank you. Video. So you'll be able to see them, if not this first time on the recording. So, and this is fulfilling the purpose of the bells. The bells are to get people to get our children involved. So, what else was there today? this, number 8, correct material belief by spiritual understanding and spirit will form you anew. You will never fear again except to offend God, and you will never believe that heart or any portion of the body can destroy you. Isn't that magnificent?
Yes.
Something to look forward to.
Something to trust.
And trust.
Beautiful.
Yep.
So, correct these material beliefs with what is the truth, and you will be formed anew in every respect. Everything about you. And then you won't ever fear again because you'll understand the power of God. And you will, and the only time if you are afraid of him, then to offend God. What does that mean?
That's the only healthy fear there is.
Well, you offend him by your disbelief in him.
And disobedience.
And disobedience.
That there's another power.
Yes.
But wouldn't that be wonderful to never fear again? And it's possible because it's the truth. It's in Genesis 1, isn't it? God gave man dominion over everything. That is the dominion that God gives us. To never fear again. Except to disobey God.
Well, I was full of fear until I came to Plainfield, even though I had found Christian Science. But I was full of fear.
And now you're not. And isn't that
wonderful? No longer am I.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And I was too. And I called myself a Christian Scientist, and I was scared of everything. Absolutely, and yet I thought I was working. I read my lesson. I mean, for heaven's sake,
what do you have to do?
Yeah, what more do you have to do? I read my lesson. I came to church occasionally,
and I had read Science and Health, and I had even gone through class instruction, and I was terrified.
You're not the only one.
Carol said class instruction would terrify it. Well.
But if it leaves you defenseless against error, then it has done worse than nothing. And that is what's wrong with a human organization.
Yeah.
When the human mind is in control, it leaves you defenseless against error.
Thank you. And Fairley wrote on the forum about the two parallel cases of bone disease, one attended by a surgeon and the other a Christian Scientist. And it explains very clearly the difference in the treatment and how important it is to be the Christian Scientist, understanding scientifically that all is mind, commences with mental causation, the truth of being, to destroy the error. So, and this goes back to our scientific statement of being, which we started Science and Health with, and I trust you all have that memorized and take it deep within you, that you do understand that God is all in all. Mind is all in all. There is nothing but God. And if we see something else, we are seeing through the glass darkly. We just have to change our vision. That's why I love so much the hymn that Lawrence brought to our attention. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. I say that to myself all the time now. Yeah. I'm seeing something that might not be of God. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. The words to that hymn are beautiful, and we did sing them recently, but not all the verses. We'll have to put them up on the website. So today we are going to close. Some of you know this story, and it relates to our Bible study yesterday about the refining fire. We didn't get to that question exactly. But there is a beautiful story. It's on our website. It's called the master silversmith, and Gary will read it for us.
The master silversmith. Malachi 3:3 says, "He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver." This verse puzzled some women in a Bible study, and they wondered what this statement meant about the character and nature of God. One of the women offered to find out the process of refining silver and get back to the group at their next Bible study. That week, the woman called a silversmith and made an appointment to watch him at work. She didn't mention anything about the reason for her interest beyond her curiosity about the process of refining silver. As she watched the silversmith, he held a piece of silver over the fire and let it heat up. He explained that in refining silver, one needed to hold the silver in the middle of the fire, where the flames were hottest, so as to burn away all the impurities. The woman thought about God holding us in such a hot spot. Then she thought again about the verse that says, "He sits as a refiner and purifier of silver." She asked the silversmith if it was true that he had to sit there in front of the fire the whole time the silver was being refined. The man answered that, yes, he not only had to sit there holding the silver, but he had to keep his eyes on the silver the entire time it was in the fire. If the silver was left a moment too long in the flames, it would be destroyed. The woman was silent for a moment. Then she asked the silversmith, "How do you know when the silver is fully refined?" He smiled at her and answered, "Oh, that's easy. When I see my image in it." If today you are feeling the heat of the fire, remember that God has his eye on you and will keep watching you until he sees his image in you.
I love you.
Beautiful.
And so it is. So
God is watching you.
God is watching. The Christ sees you. Never forget that. And we'll go on and have a powerful service. And thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.